the number of presentations, which were quite regional. We had the presentation of the user needs and how they are taking account through the implementation of space programs in India, in Philippines, from Jennifer, in Africa as well. And basically have one question is, are the user needs in these various regions, are they common? Or would it be useful to sit together, having representatives of the various regions sitting together to come up with joint expression of needs? Or definitely should this issue of sustainable development be considered region by region and independently one from each other? I would like to open the discussion to all of you. Maybe Justin, you would like to start with this one.
So I don't think I can stress enough the need to sort of think about things locally and think about the ways in which things may be different and the context may be different in different areas. That being said, at JPL we try to live by the phrase globally informed, locally grounded. And so what that means is, across the board, there are things that sort of define us as humans and reasons why we do what we do and what motivates us and what interests us and what we need. And there are opportunities, too, in the abstract and thinking about the theory of change of a person's life and why we do what we do, where we can consider one idea from somewhere and think about how it may apply at a theoretical level somewhere else. So as an example of this, there was a program that was evaluated in India that looked at the state of medical services in an area. And this is in the state of Rajasthan. And unfortunately, at the time, absenteeism rates at local health clinics there was 94%. So 6% of the time you went to a health clinic, someone was there. And besides that, there was nothing. And so what that meant is the immunization rates were extremely, extremely low. And so building off what Mr. Bhatia said earlier, the state tried to implement a program where they would actually have camps, where people would come together, sort of similar to the campaigns that you described, to be able to guarantee that someone would be there to vaccinate and to motivate people to be able to come. They also provided a small incentive, just a bag of dal, 1 kilogram of dal, to be able to actually come in. And this program increased the immunization rate sixfold in the state, which is a massive increase and a huge public health improvement. Now, in Sierra Leone, following the Ebola outbreak, families became, on average, quite afraid and nervous about going back to health clinics because many of them, rightly or incorrectly so, believed that if one went to a health clinic, one would then get Ebola. And so we're now working with the Ministry of Health in Sierra Leone to understand whether they can improve their own immunization rates by providing a very small incentive of sorts to people to be able to get them back into health clinics and to be able to help inform them about how immunization may be good for their children and may be something that will benefit them lifelong. So very different contexts and also very different problems at the beginning, but ultimately something that, because of thinking about things at a global level and thinking about the theory of change, there may be the possibility to use a similar idea in two very different contexts.
So I saw Mr. Ouedraogo raising his hand. Would you like to raise it to ask a question?
Well, it's not a follow-up, it's a different question to Monsieur Didier Lenoir. Thank you for this wonderful presentation. Toward the end, you emphasized on some of the recent outcome of the work of UN COPIOS, which is making you very optimistic. Can you please elaborate more on what is really making you optimistic? And secondly, some of the spacefaring countries have enacted legislation on space mining. And I would like to to hear your comment on what will be the European position on that space mining.
So, Mr. Lenoir, the first question was addressed specifically to you. The second one, we have a few minutes to think of it.
I don't know, maybe I give the feeling that I was a bit too over-optimistic, but I mean, that's the job of diplomat to be optimistic, otherwise. The positive element, the positive element is that a set of guidelines were agreed. And again, I mean, when I arrived, this process was blocked, and the prospect of getting an agreement, I mean, maybe I was over pessimistic at this stage, the prospect of getting an agreement on the guideline, my assessment is what this prospect was relatively remote. I must say I was surprised when we finally come up with an agreement on this first set of guidelines. Now, the job is not over, you're right. There is a lot that remains to be done. We haven't solved the problem. But what the risk was that this sort of work that has been going on for how long, years, would end up nowhere because of, let's be frank, some sort of a political blockage. This has been overcome, not entirely, but there was goodwill to agree on this first set of guidelines. I mean, the reason why I find it positive is, first, because we have guidelines that were not agreed before, and that in itself is interesting. The second thing that is interesting is maybe more the political dynamic behind it. And my mistake in assessing that it will be difficult, I mean, the fact that we had an agreement proves that there is goodwill on both sides to overcome political blockage. So sorry if I gave you a too rosy picture, but I do think that the development that we have had on this long-term sustainability working group were positive ones.
Regarding the space mining, would you like to say a few words about the discussions in the Copios framework or not?
Well, that is becoming a bit complex.
Okay, but maybe what I can suggest is next time we have a conference dealing with the space mining, which will happen in the future, I will make sure that we invite you so that you can raise it again to some qualified speakers. Any other questions for the audience? Yes, I see one here.
Hello, my name is Tomas. I'm from a private company from Slovenia, basically a startup, you could say, so small business. And I'm interested about your opinion. So how do you see startups, small businesses in the sustainable development goals in the space? So like, we are building some end-user solutions based on satellite data. So I know that we have positive feedback from the end-user side, so we have user-friendliness and stuff. So what's your opinion? How do you see it? Thanks.
Well, I think this question is quite interesting, and I would say it will be developed in the third panel that we'll have tomorrow, so make sure you will attend it. But maybe someone would like to react on this one?
Yeah. I cannot answer your question, but what I can tell you is that when the EU has developed this Copernicus, the idea was precisely to make services available to actors, operators, such as startups, that would then be able to use this data to develop new applications. And. So there was, I would say, an industrial angle to it. I mean, the idea was not only to provide services for the sake of providing services, but the idea is that we would provide services available to everybody, and it will be for everybody to see how they can use them to provide added value and create new applications and new services. This has been in the logic of Copernicus since the very beginning.
With regard to the SDGs, I think they are discussed as very important actors, but the question is whether this kind of entrepreneurship can really, you know, change the current economic, I mean, what kind of influence can social entrepreneurs really have, and can they really change the paradigm or the general logic of the system? There was just a discussion last week here in Vienna where this was titled SDGs and Social Entrepreneurs, and there were exactly this question discussed. Not with regard to space, they also had textile or whatever, but I think it was a little bit in the direction you are.
Just two quick points. I think that startups can be very important because a lesson that we all need to remember is to start small rather than just immediately implement something large. And then the second is that I think that startups can provide a sort of proof of concept to see whether with an intensive amount of resources and human capital, something can work. That doesn't always mean that in scaling up or thinking about it in a different context, that it will work again or it will work for many. But I think it can be a very important starting point.
I've heard from a technology expert that the space technology could be used much more in this context to prevent that people are drowning in the Mediterranean Sea. I don't know if that's true. This is why I would like to ask you, is the technology used to its extent in this crisis to identify people who are close to drown, before, or when the ship has a problem, etc., etc.
Well, it's not news that satellite could be used to oversee what's happening on the ocean now. Military fleets or something else. Within certain limitations, there is a possibility, yes, to identify embarkation at sea. Now, whether with a satellite you can identify permanently whether the said embarkation is drawing or not, I have my doubts. But having what we call a maritime picture of a given zone, yeah, that's something that is definitely possible if you have the appropriate satellite. I mean, there is a question of the frequency, etc. I will not enter into the detail, but yes, with a satellite you can take a picture. I mean, you have been on Google Earth, you see the level of detail that you can get. You can see a car, therefore you can see a larger object on the sea. I mean, that is probably that is certainly not a problem.
Yeah, good afternoon. Isabelle Duvaux-Béchon from the European Space Agency, in charge of this type of problems there. Just to react for Slovenia, unfortunately, you are not member states of ESA, because there are a lot of startups that develop applications from our data, from our member states, but I'm sure that things can be done. On the migrants themselves, yeah, we're part of the answer there. The satellite can see a lot of things if they pass at the right time above and if there is somebody to analyze the image after. So there is a limit to what can be done and what we are working on that, but still there are some limits. I have one question for the panel. There are a lot of initiatives. We have initiatives to support sustainable development. The other agencies have, the other countries. How do you think, we have our own ideas, but I want to hear your ideas. How are your ideas on how to combine the efforts so that to avoid that each one is doing its own activity in its corner and to try to find a way to optimize what could be done, what could be proposed, and what on this level? What would be your ideas?
You mean to coordinate the various space assets in orbit?
Yeah.
Justin, this one, I guess, is for you first.
thank you for the question. I think that it's a very good point, and I think it goes to the idea of institutionalizing overlap and figuring out ways in which we are actually actively seeking answers to questions rather than passively receiving information, and figuring out ways in which we can act on something rather than just react. And so I think, you know, oftentimes it can be, or think about ways in which we can kind of take credit for the way something has passively happened already. And I think it's very important to be able to consider learning opportunities across the board. There are so many different mediums in which to do this, and a lot that I think have varying degrees of effectiveness. So the first thing that we can do is just critically consider whether we ourselves, regardless of what anyone else is doing, are doing the most to put ourselves out there and to promote what we know and make sure that we're communicating externally. But at the same time, I think it's also important to have ears up and perked. And I think a conference like this is certainly very interesting to, in terms of, to use economic speak, the marginal benefit of something like this, where we start from such little knowledge of each other's worlds, can be quite large. And so looking for other low-hanging fruit and other opportunities where we recognize the fact that we often run on parallel lines or live in different dimensions can be ultimately, I think, a very good place to begin.
Well, I think we can discuss about what we can gain, but I think it's already time to think about what we are going to lose if we don't act together quickly, and that is space debris. There are a lot of objects rotating around us, and if some collision is happening, then it is going to be an exponential phenomenon. And that it's better that we care right now about how, for instance, drag finished satellites to an orbit in which they could burn in the beginning of the atmosphere. And so I think, I don't know of any study specifically on that, but I think that, for instance, the ion engine could be a shuttle between the orbiting finished or out-of-view satellites and the upper atmosphere. And then, you know, this could be somehow that we together in the world countries act in order to be able to really rely on space. Otherwise, it will be too much the uncertainty could be not acceptable. And that's why I think that space debris could be a specific program, a joint world program. And of course, with all the action that could ensure that there is the agreement, for instance, for end of life satellite, that the country launched it is agreeing about the destruction of this satellite. But it is time to think what can we do for this crowding of space.
Yeah, which is raising the question of sustainability in space. And another, I would say, last question, then we'll have to shift
maybe
to...
Maybe not a question, but a further remark to this interesting question on how space... services are used in migration situations. Of course, Ambassador Noir said yes, they're used in rescue operations and the Italian Navy does that on a daily basis. But I come from Geneva, where I've been for a long time, and there it's the the international humanitarian agencies, Red Cross and UNHCR, and also the European Union and the US Emergency, they use satellite services to track large outflows of refugees, migrants, and internally displaced persons. And they use these images for the simple reason that if you have a large group of people on the move, you have about 12 hours or 24 hours to deliver water. So your emergency response window of opportunity is 24 hours, 48 hours to deliver food, and depending on the climate, you may have 8 hours to a week to deliver decent shelter. So this is very, very well-known use. And as the ESA says, the question is, do we have the capacity on that spot, on that moment, to track it? And there is quite a good cooperation between the different operators of satellites for those purposes. So that's an area that's working. It's just an element to add to the discussion.
So thank you for this interesting comments, and I think that this concludes our first session. So I would like to thank once again all our speakers for this very interesting presentations and exchange of views. And I would like also to thank you again for your attention.